I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Art Cop Radio. It's show number 127. Glad you can make it. No telling what kind of show we got for you today. Another one of those shows done on the fly. Done piecemeal. It's all going to get thrown together here at the last minute. Let me see what we got in the big show today. Looks like we got a little Chris the Screamer. Looks like, let's see, we got Clinton awful pissed off about somebody. We got the GOP turning on Bush. That's always a good sign. Got a little Jon Stewart. Got a little Bill Maher. And also going to have to tell you about a big part of this show. I had to do a little road trip. My good friend's Starship featuring Mickey Thomas was in Oklahoma City. Mrs. Bart wasn't able to make it because it was on a Sunday, and she has religious reasons, as you know. And on the way down, you know, I got the satellite radio in the car. Well, it's just way too long a story. How can I shorten it? All the new shows are coming out this week, and the stupid TiVo, it doesn't hold enough shows, so I had to erase a bunch of shows and turn off a bunch of shows, tell them not to record. And I thought I turned off reliable sources with that whore, Howard Kurtz. So I'm in the radio. No, I'm not. I'm in the car, listening to the radio, driving to Oklahoma City, and I hear just the most unfair attack ever on Dan Rather. And as you know, for 2.5, 3 years, I've not been Dan Rather's biggest fan, but apparently he's on the left half of the political scale. And I say that because the right attacks him constantly, so he must be. But Howard Kurtz and three other sons of bitches just went after him for, oh, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. Again and again, the most unfair bullshit you ever heard in your life. And I'm driving in the car screaming at the radio and thinking, damn, I wish I'd recorded that. Well, lo and behold, when I got home, it had been recorded or did record or was recorded, whatever the terminology is there. And so I thought, aha, I got something to piss me off that I'd talk about on the next show. Before we get off the subject, that Starship with Mickey Thomas, really good band. I've seen them 6 times in the last 3 years. If you get a chance to see them, take it. You know, and there may be other Starships. I heard there's the Jefferson Starship that's got Marty Ballin or some other people. I don't know who all's in those. They might be real good bands. I don't know. But I know that Starship with Mickey Thomas is a real good band. Some bitch sings like crazy. And the whole band's good, too. Hey, no bad news. If you get a chance to see Starship with Mickey Thomas, you grab that. So anyway, on the way down to see them, we have this whole Howard Kurtz, Dan Rather thing. Really pissed me off. Thought I'd get into it. But we got that, plus we got all the other outrages that you might expect. But we can't get the show started without a shot at Chinako. Let me see where my bottle is. Oh, here it is in my hand. Them Starship boys, they like to find tequila too. Sometimes when we get together, I bring a bottle or two. Not like I bring a bottle or two, but I bring some bottles that we pour teeny tiny shots out of. I also bring some vodka. So when it's, you know, if somebody's just looking to get a load on, get away from my tequila. For every little shot of Chinako they do, I make them do a complete shot of the Smirnoff. That way, nothing gets out of hand, you know what I mean? Can't be too generous with the salary I make. Okay, can't think of any other stalling tactics. Let's go to the big, big show!
This is www.bartcop.com.
Today,
Damn Yankees. The betting says it'll be Hillary versus Rudy next fall. But with two New Yorkers running, will the country buy a Subway Series?
I don't see any way at all this is going to end up some Subway Series. Chris, you're such a whore. Think about 250 million people are going to feel left out if the choices are a Democratic New Yorker and a Republican New Yorker. So let's look for the Brownback Huckabee team to get in there. Split that Republican vote right down the middle. All the crazies vote for the religiously crazy Republicans, and all the non-crazy crazy Republicans vote for Rudy. Boy, that'd be great. Because she's going to need at least 70 senators and about 300 representatives to get shit done.
Rootless. She talks Southern, runs in New York, and says she's been Western. Does Hillary have a real address?
Hey, Chris, you dumbass. You know her address. Hell, you may have been to her house. What a stupid thing to say. Is it her fault? She couldn't pick the place she was born. She was born in Chicago. Went to school, fell in love with an Arkansas guy, moved to Arkansas. We should hold that against her? Then after her husband became the most successful president since FDR, they moved to New York because they no longer want to go back to the sticks, having been to the pinnacle of the planet. So if you want to blame her for going to New York, fine, but don't act like, does she have an address? No, monkey, she's in a mobile home, driving around, looking for somewhere. Christ, Matthews, you can be such a tool.
And finally, MoveOn.org. Bush says the Democrats are scared of the left-wing bloggers. Is he right? Are the bloggers the new Democratic bosses?
Well, first of all, why are you using bloggers plural? Did anyone see Raw Story have a convention? Did anyone see Crooks and Liars have a convention? Did anybody see Josh Marshall hold a convention? No, there's only one. It's not the bloggers. There's one guy, and it's Coase. And I think he's got a little touch of the God complex. I think the Klingons called it delusions of godhood. But don't act like the bloggers are keeping him in line, because there's only one.
Hi, I'm Chris Matthews, and welcome to this show. When Hillary ran for the Senate, she tried hard to prove she was a New Yorker.
You a Yankees fan, too?
Well, now, the fact is, I've always been a Yankees fan.
I thought you were a Cubs fan.
I am. Mm-hmm. I am a Cubs fan. But I needed an American League team, because when you're from Chicago, you cannot root for both the Cubs and the Sox. I mean, that's, you know, there's a dividing line that you can't cross there. So as a young girl, I became very interested and enamored of the Yankees.
Oh, my God.
I just love the way Katie Kirk went out of there. Come on, how many hats are you wearing, babe? I just think that was great.
She's a Midwesterner. She's a New Yorker. She was from Arkansas.
Maybe you recognize that nasally, whiny voice. That's Andrew Sullivan, top cheerleader for the Bush administration. And like everybody else, if you got to complain about Hillary, let's hear it. But no, his complaint about Hillary is, well, Hillary doesn't know where she lives. First she's in Arkansas, and then she's here, and then she's there, and Hillary doesn't know. Hillary wants to be everyone and everybody. Hillary has 50 addresses. Hillary lives in 50 states. Hillary wants to be the favorite daughter of a... Yuck, 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 yuck. Can't you come up with anything substantive to say about the woman?
She's a New Yorker. She was from Arkansas. She has California. She's anything she needs to be.
She contains multitudes.
Well, let's not forget her Birmingham accent, or Selma. Which
well, have you noticed that lately, as part of her latest, was morphing, she was an Arkansan, and then she was a New Yorker. Lately, she's been selling this, I'm a Midwestern daughter.
Well, she's looking for that heartland vote. I mean, she's headed to Iowa.
Well, I have no idea where they're going there. She's going to win Iowa. She's going to win, I think, every primary there is. So the idea that she's going to pretend to be a Midwestern girl. Well, you know, if you're born and raised in the Midwest, you can become more sophisticated, but you're always going to have a little Midwestern in you, right? I was born in St. Louis. So my roots are there. My foundation is there. Can I get away from that? Probably not. But don't you want to talk about her war vote? Don't you want to talk about her health care plan? Let's talk about her stockings. Let's talk about her hairdo. Let's talk about her dress. Let's talk about her makeup. Let's talk about her cleavage. Isn't this supposed to be a political show? You know the other thing I really hate, and they all do this, and it's going to sound dumb coming from me, but I hate when they try to do the comedy. I was going to pull it out, but there was just no time. But about 15, 20 times in the show, somebody would say something, and Chris Matthews would go, That's how he laughs. And why? I can understand having a good time. Don't nobody like to have a better time than old Bart, but, you know, if you're making a point, if you say Hillary's trying to appeal to the people in Chicago and the people in New York and the people in Arkansas and the people in Iowa, and the others burst out laughing like that's a joke or something. I don't get it. If somebody says something clever, fine, let's laugh, but I guess they're all nervous to get this forced laughter. If somebody says necktie, The other four burst out like, oh my God, oh my God, I can't get my breath. Oh, so goddamn funny. Oh my God. And there's just no point in it. Let's pretend this is a political show. Let's kick around some serious issues. And maybe at the end, maybe we should have the lighthearted thing. I hate to give Judas Maximus some credit, but on his show, they talk about the news, and then when they close out, they do the last 5 or 6 minutes, they do a little Leno, a little Letterman, something. Maybe that's the right way to do it. Let's talk about the important issues, and then just before we say goodbye, we'll tell a few jokes. But to laugh all the way through the show, I don't know who to take seriously. Well, nobody on this panel.
But it does raise questions, because many people want to know, where's your home? It defines, in many ways, who you are to some degree.
Lady, and I use the term loosely, who doesn't know where Hillary's from? You're not trying to introduce an unknown candidate. What a dumb thing to say. What's wrong with people? Does Chris Matthews go get the four most idiotic morons he can find and have them come on and talk stupid? You could go to any corner bar, get four people drunk, and it would make more sense than these monkeys I have on a Chris Matthews show.
And because some people view Hillary Clinton as a carpetbagger, it goes right to that very essence of what even her advisors acknowledge as her problem. Is she authentic?
Oh, really? Hillary's handlers told you that her problem is she's not authentic. Well, I guess then she's going to be President Miss Inauthentic.
Let me ask you about this. Next November, if she is the nominee and she looks very strong, and if Rudy wins it, although that's harder to call, and they get in the trenches next October, November, they're going to be competing to see who's the toughest New Yorker in a way.
Yeah, but I think a Clinton-Giuliani race will so polarize us into left-right again that it will dwarf any of these other interesting nuances. I think we are going to go back to the worst instincts of both sides. It will be the worst elements of the 90s.
And that would be because of people like you, Andrew Sullivan. You don't want to talk about her policy. You want to talk about her voice, her personal mannerisms, her laugh, the way she stands there. This is your fault, asshole. You and Chris Matthews and pretty much anybody in the media, if you've got something to say about the candidate's policies, effing say it. But to go on and on about her hair and her cleavage and her perfume and something that nobody else gives a flying fuck about, yeah, no wonder things get polarized. Why don't you stick to the issues? That might make a difference.
How so?
Because Clinton manages to enrage everybody to her right and still has this capacity to alienate people who just... I mean, I know that I agree with her on many issues, but I can't cope with listening to her.
Well, now see, I think he's proven my point. Are you listening to me, Andrew? Are you hearing this as I record? He agrees with many of her policies, but he doesn't like that, apparently, the tone of her voice. I assume he's a professional wordsmith. I assume he's saying what he means. But he likes her policies, okay? It's just that he didn't want to see her voice. In a couple of minutes, this cow sitting to his right is going to say, Hillary's got this whole finger-wagging thing down. Well, isn't that kind of what a mother does when she snaps you back in line, when she says, you need to finish your vegetables, you need to hurry and get dressed for school, you need to get ready to go to the dentist, you need... That sounds to me like what a manager does. You ever have a nice boss, someone that sweet-talks you into doing your job? No, not really. They generally kick your ass to make you do your job. I think she'll be an effective president.
And Giuliani is also an absolutely polarizing figure. He's not interested in reaching out to anybody. So you will have a 50-50 nation again, but more bitter, at war. I think it's the nightmare scenario to have the country this divided.
I like the line about Giuliani, either you like me or I hate you.
Right.
And Judge... Ha ha! Ha ha! It's so goddamn funny! Ha ha! Ha ha! Ha ha! Ha!
I will take that how you mean it. As a slap in the face to General Petraeus. Oh, that General Petraeus. You know that the Republicans are still angry about this 10-day-old moveon.org ad. You know, the General Petraeus, he betrayed us. And the Senate actually voted to condemn an ad. That's what your government did yesterday. They held a vote to pass a resolution to condemn an ad with a pun in it. And then they had Oreos and braided each other's hair. And 22 Democrats voted for that, by the way. You know, I have to say, the Democrats are so useless, they could not even pass a bill to get our troops more time between deployments. Only the Republicans could make an argument that a bill that literally supports the troops didn't support the troops, and only the Democrats could lose that argument. Next week, the Democrats are going to vote whether to give Republicans all their lunch money or just some of it. You know that the Democrat-controlled Congress, their approval rating is now somewhere between rectal itch and that douchebag on the internet who says, leave Britney alone. Their approval rating is 11%. 11%. They were so stunned at this number, the Democrats, that it sent a chill up and down where their spine used to be. But, come on, it's not all bad. Hillary did call Dick Cheney Darth Vader. So we got that, you know. Yeah, she called him Darth Vader, which is very unfair because Darth Vader would have caught Bin Laden by now. Sure. Islamo-fascists. There's another one. Iran's president. He's in the news. You see this? He wanted to lay a wreath at Ground Zero, but his critics said, no, no. They said, you are trying to exploit Ground Zero for political gain. And that is Rudy Giuliani's job. Rudy says he is not going to go to the big, what they're calling the black debate this month with Tavis Smiley, and neither are the other Republican frontrunners. I think that's just as well. I don't think the Republicans are really that in tune with the black community, because they asked Mitt Romney today what he thought of the Gina Six. He said, I prefer the Jackson Five. There was a big, you saw that, big march yesterday down in Gina, Louisiana, and Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and Al Sharpton, so you know it's big. They both went down there. And I'm just saying, while they're down there, would it kill them to swing by Florida, have a little talk with OJ? Just... please. Poor OJ. He just wanted his memorabilia back. He said he would never solve a business dispute with violence. That's for love. Speaking of love, did you see this? There was a survey this week of users of the internet who said that 1 out of 3 of them have given up friends and sex to spend more time on the web. And on the rare occasions when they did have sex with an actual human being, when they reached orgasm, they yelled out, OMG! Finally, my favorite story of the week, Vicente Fox, the former president of Mexico, he's got a book coming out where he talks about George Bush, and he said that Bush, the cowboy, is afraid of horses. Well, actually, he's not afraid of them, but he had a bad experience, because back in college, a horse defeated him in a debate.
There's a year and a half left in President Bush's second term, and some former insiders are no longer pulling their punches. Many are writing books intensely critical of this president, calling him stubborn. They also say the Republican Party, under his leadership, has lost its way. Christine Romans reports.
With friends like these, the president blasted in 2 new books by 2 men who know him well. Former Fed chief Alan Greenspan says this president abandoned fiscal discipline and his party has lost its way.
They had originally come to office with major important policy initiatives, and they went out of office solely seeking power, and in the end they achieved neither.
Republicans Greenspan says deserved to lose the congressional majority last November. The criticism stinging and uncharacteristically frank from a fellow Republican who ultimately served six presidents. At the same time, a swipe from one of the president's closest diplomatic allies, Mexico's former president Vicente Fox.
And thank you for being a friend to Laura and me.
In his new book, Fox calls his border state friend stubborn, and on page 140, quote, the cockiest guy I have ever met in my life. Fox sharply critical of Bush policies on Iraq and illegal immigration. Insider tell-alls and second-term second-guessing are certainly not new, but Professor John Geer says this time the criticism is louder.
A lot of people are upset also because of this concern that the Bush administration has of not worrying necessarily about the evidence, but paying more attention to their ideology.
A complaint heard this summer in testimony from a former Surgeon General who said this administration put politics over science.
This is the most partisan we've ever seen government.
Several Republican senators have already broken with the president over the war in Iraq. A former Treasury Secretary and CIA chief have already delivered critical accounts of their time in the administration.
But it is the criticism of the respected Greenspan that garnered the most attention. A man who spent 20 years carefully choosing his words is speaking with great clarity.
Seems to me the craziest thing about that is Greenspan's not running for anything, and he's being the guy who's accountable. You would think all these Republicans who are up for re-election next year, they've got to change their minds between now and then. Wouldn't it be more credible to change your mind early? How can you change your mind at the last second? Everybody keeps saying they have to wait till after they win their primary, because if they say this war's no good, some junior Republican's going to say, well, I love Bush, I love this war, and everybody's going to vote for him. So the incumbent Republican could lose their seat. So they have to wait until after the primaries, after they've won the primary, then they're going to say, oh, by the way, I hate this war, and Bush is crazy. Vote for me for change. I just don't see how they're going to pull it out. But funny how Greenspan, the guy who's not running for anything, he's telling the truth. Go figure.
So tonight we talk first about the video we've all seen, the video of the University of Florida student Andrew Meyer being tasered at a John Kerry speech. By the way, considered one of the most pleasant outcomes of attending a Kerry speech. Many people, from what I've seen, choose to be tasered. Many people bring their own to Kerry speeches, hoping either to stay awake or erase the memory.
And Ohio. I'll ask my question. Thank you very much. I'll ask my question. I'm going to preface it.
Get off of that! Hey, what are you doing? Yes, the entire situation, an unfortunate combination of police overreaction and what appears to be student douchebaggery.
I want to say something else about Taser Boy. I know we have pretty much spent that subject, but I want you to know I wasn't caught up in some naive hero worship thing. Oh, there goes a great man, any of that. I think he definitely planned this from the very beginning. I mean, duh, he brought his camcorder to the event, so he must have planned something. But he intended to confront Kerry, and I guess he knew there was a possibility he was going to have the run-in with the law, but it was so poorly handled by those hired goons that he ended up looking good. And what's amazing, if you concentrate on what he says, Andrew Meyer, he never says the right things. He always says something that will prolong the situation. He says, what did I do? What did I do? Let go of me. What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. Let go of me. Stop. You're hurting me. No, don't do that. Let go of me. Which is something that you might say in that situation. But had it been me and I didn't want my ass tasered, I would have said, okay. Okay, I give up. Okay, you win. And I would have gone limp and just fallen to the floor. It's hard to rough up a guy in front of witnesses who's laying motionless on the floor as if he had had a heart attack or something. So if Andrew had just gone limp, then the whole thing would have been over. But instead of that, you know, he never yelled, no, no, stop, I quit, okay, okay. He never said that because he wanted it to keep going. Even as he was getting tasered, he didn't say, okay, I give up, okay, that's enough, okay. He never said anything, he just kept going. And you got to give him points for whatever, stamina. You got to give him points for stamina or stick-to-itiveness or something. But you know who also gets some blame here? As always, John Kerry. You know, the Democrats, they're so stupid, they can't figure out anything. Kerry's been giving speeches 30-something years, and he can't figure out what to do when he's getting heckled. It would have been real smart to have a couple of linebacker-looking guys, a couple of cops that are 6'6 and 300 pounds. It would have been a good idea to have two of them guys sitting on either side of the lectern, of the microphone, whatever, and just to send the message out. You know, back when I owned a bar, we always tried to get a big, muscly bouncer. You don't want, I mean, the first thing, a bouncer has to be is smart, but you don't want to send out Barney Fife, who's real smart. You want to send out someone that just looks like, oh, I don't want any trouble with this guy. And that's what they could have done. If I remember, there was several women, not that I'm down on women, but if you're trying to overpower a man who's out of control, you don't need some smallish women. So if they'd had a couple of linebackers sitting there next to the microphone, and they should have sat up front, we don't expect trouble, but if some trouble comes up, we're going to cut off your microphone. Once we cut off your microphone, you're expected to walk away from the microphone. If you don't, these gentlemen will take you into custody. Now you're pretty much in a situation where if you screw up, yeah, you definitely wanted to screw up. And what kills me about the Democrats, or Kerry, is, you know, to this day, I promise you, I would bet you money, they still haven't done anything to correct that situation. In other words, next time Kerry goes in the room to give a speech, he ought to say, you probably heard about the taser incident. To avoid something like that in the future, we're going to ask you, if we cut your mic off, to walk away from the microphone. If you don't, these two gentlemen will assist you. Now, see, that prevents a whole lot of crap. You can say that Kerry didn't know it was coming the first time, but once you step in the hole and break your leg, you have a tendency to watch out for holes that are in your path. You just do. At least smart people like old Bart does. But you know Kerry didn't do that. I guarantee you, I'd bet $100 on it, that Kerry did not instigate some kind of program where before he speaks, either him or the guy that introduced him says, hey, if we're going to have trouble, you're going to be removed. Don't make us tase you, but we will if we have to. But once we cut your mic off, boom, your time's over, goodbye. I guarantee you he hadn't taken any kind of steps like that, because Democrats can't think. They just don't have any kind of clue at all about how to handle shit. They want to wait until after they break their leg and they say, how can we avoid this in the future? And then they generally don't. They generally break the other leg the next day because they can't remember the lessons they learned on the first day. But anyway, I just wanted to get that out there that Andrew Meyer, I like what he did. Overall, I think he did a good thing, and that Rosa Parks' reference was partially humorous, but there were some parallels that he refused to stop. He just refused to take it from the man anymore, and he demanded some answers, and he got tased for his trouble. And I was a little surprised how many Democrats said, yeah, tase that bastard. Count me in on the tase that bastard crowd. He said, whoa, you know, if he'd have stood up and said, I got a great blog, it's barkup.com, and you really ought to like it. Everybody should read my page, barkup.com, BARTCOP.com, barkup.com. Everybody should go to barkup. You know, if you're one of those people, then yeah, tase the guy right away. But if you're standing there saying, why did you throw the election? Why did you refuse to fight? You promised us. I think Kerry's words were, I promised to turn over every stone. I will fight to the end. We will let nothing left under, you know. And then he got up there and he tried to resign the night of the deal before they were still, before they stopped counting the votes. He's on the phone to Bunny Pants, but Bunny Pants, it was already 9:30. Bunny Pants was in bed already, and he couldn't concede. He couldn't concede fast enough. He wanted to concede so fucking bad that he just rushed it up early. It's like, explain yourself, Senator. That would have been pretty good to go up to the microphone and say, can you explain why you caved in the night of the election? Hey, please explain yourself, Senator. And then just stand there and have him go, whoa, the dreams and the aspirations of the forefounder. You know that's what Kerry would do. But it'd be nice if the guy could say, excuse me, I asked for an answer. Can I get one, Senator? Explain yourself. But no, that's not going to happen. Nothing logical or meaningful or worthwhile comes from any of these debates, other than we got a little story to talk about. Andrew Meyer got tased, and we got to get into the subject of, is it okay to tase people? You know what's funny? I'm the don't tase the guy, and somehow I got hung with the Bart is pro-torture label, and all these people write me, of course you put 50,000 volts in. Anyone asks a question, of course you do. They didn't get hung with any kind of torture label, which is funny. It's funny how shit works.
Another big story in the news is that the Republicans in the Senate successfully filibustered a bill restoring habeas corpus rights for terror detainees and are now working to block a bill mandating that soldiers receive home leave equal to... I'm just kidding! Nobody's talking about that! It's O.J., baby! O.J. Simpson's back! Back where he belongs! O.J.'s back, and he's in a car followed by helicopters. Now, this may seem like an unrelated fact, but presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton has also released details of her new health care plan. See what I'm getting at? Anybody? Anybody see what I'm... Anybody other than Newt Gingrich see what I'm getting at? No? All right, go ahead, Newt.
I have to tell you, I thought, as I watched the TV news all day, that I was in the Twilight Zone. Here we were, you turn on the TV, you have O.J. Simpson being arrested, and Hillary Care with big government, big tax increases, more regulation.
They're back.
I thought, my God, this is 1994 all over again.
Except, instead of me being Speaker of the House, now I wake up at 11 and pour beer on my Captain Crunch.
This next bit is something you might play the next time you hear somebody claim how liberal the media is. This is a clip from CNN, and to make it worse, this is the Reliable Sources show that stars Howard Kurtz, which, for my money, is as big a whore as they come. Good thing Wolf Blitzer's there. He'd have the whole network sewed up. But this is Howard Kurtz attacking Dan Rather. Now, you probably know as much about the Dan Rather story as I do. He did the story about Bush going AWOL from the National Guard. And like all liberals, when he was accused, Dan Rather apologized and said he was sorry. And then they fired him. He said, I understand. I deserve it. I'm a liberal. I did wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. I'm guilty. And now, 2.5 years later, he decided he's not guilty. Apparently, somebody grabbed him and shook him and talked some sense to his damn liberal head and said, why don't you fight back? You got like a 50-year career, and you're just going to let it all go because you got screwed. You got sandbagged. You got stabbed in the back. And yeah, it is his fault. He should have caught it. And something that they never bring up in this whole thing is nobody can prove that the documents are false. They scream at us because we can't prove they're true, but we can scream back that they can't prove they're false because Bush didn't show up. Forget who it was. Might have been Doonesbury. Offered $10,000 to anybody who was in Bush's platoon that saw him come to work at the National Guard, and nobody claimed it for years, so they just quit talking about it. But everybody knows that Bush went AWOL. He got Dan Rather to give him the lifetime pass. So here they're kicking around that story. And so what Howard Kurtz and CNN do, Howard Kurtz went and found three Dan Rather haters. And, of course, Since Howard Kurtz is a right winger, he went and found three other right wingers so they could all four look at it from all sides. Well, all sides if you're a right winger. If you want to look at an issue from all sides, you don't get Rush and Hannity and O'Reilly and G. Gordon Liddy to sit around and kick it. You know, that's not how it works. So let's start some of that.
No one expected Dan Rather to do what he did the other day, hit his former network with a $70 million lawsuit stemming from the botched 60 Minutes 2 story, charging that President Bush received favorable treatment from the National Guard. Why on earth would he go to court now? Because, Rather told me, he wants to prove that the three-year-old story is true and to punish CBS executives with a big financial judgment.
Well, Dan, there's a lot of mistakes you made, but talking to Howie the whore is sure one of them. What's wrong with you? Don't you know he's a right-wing hack and a whore? And you talk to this man, you know he's going to twist anything you tell him into making it look like, oh, and of course his personal vendetta against the Bushes. You know, that's all you're going to get out of Howard Kurtz.
Here's how he put it on Larry King.
It wasn't a fraud. The facts of the story were true.
Are you saying that CBS then copped out?
The ownership management. What they did was they sacrificed support for independent journalism for corporate financial gain.
You know, I realize I'm not a very educated man, but I wonder why people talk like that. He must be talking to the other chairman of the board that he doesn't need to impress. He needs to impress the guy watching the television. He needs to impress the public. And you don't impress the public like this.
What they did was they sacrificed support for independent journalism for corporate financial gain.
Instead of saying that, which I understood, but it comes out like gobbledygook. Why didn't he say they changed the news so they could make more money and be nice to Bush? Now that just makes a lot more sense. A million more people will hear that message if you put it that way than if you say, oh, the sacrifice, the support for the blah, 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 blah. Democrats and liberals got to quit speaking like they're on some ivory tower giving the speech of the decade. They just got to talk to the guy who's standing with a lunch pail in his hands and he's wearing blue jeans. He's got dirt on his boots. He works hard for a living. Why don't you talk to that guy instead of the other chairman of the board?
Why is Rather dredging up the darkest hour of his long and controversial career?
As you know, if you've been reading the page or hearing the radio for very long, I've been very hard on Dan Rather for 2.5 years, but for the purpose of this, I'm going to be on his side because he needs someone on his side because he's a sissy, he's a pussy, he's afraid, he doesn't know how to fight back, and apparently 2.5 years after the fact, someone said, hey, idiot, you got screwed, don't you understand that? Why don't you fight back? And somehow he got talked into it, but what you just heard Howard Kurtz say, that's going to be a theme throughout this whole thing. The darkest hour, and he brings it back into the light? What's wrong with this man? Is he crazy? I mean, they're acting like this is some Larry Craig deal, where Dan Rather got caught blowing a guy, and why would he want to bring that back up again and again? Well, no, he's bringing this back up because he got screwed the first time, and like an idiot liberal, as soon as all this shit hit the fan, he said, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to lie to you. I'm sorry. We didn't do our homework. George Bush is the greatest. I'm so sorry. He went into all that for days and days and days. And then he finally canned his stupid ass. Why didn't he stand up at the time and say, I'll be goddamn if I'm going to take the fall for this. I was handed a script. You told me to say it. I'm paid to say what you tell me to say. And that's all there is to it. If I produce a piece myself, then yeah, it's got my damn name on it. And I'll stand behind anything I produce. But I didn't produce this. This was produced by Mary Maples and a bunch of people at CBS that no one ever heard of. They should have all gotten fired. And their names should have all been printed in the paper or run on the program, whatever. You know, the idea that, oh, yeah, we fired the people involved. Yeah, well, we're all sure you did. Unless you give us a list of names, you didn't fire anybody. Liars.
Joining us now in Toledo, Ohio, Laura Ingraham, radio talk show host and author of the new book, Power to the People.
And anybody that knows Laura Ingraham knows that she's a screaming, lying, right-wing whore. If you're a Republican who makes it big on the radio, you have to be a right-wing flaming whore. The Republicans have nobody who's sane and normal and middle of the road but just likes Reagan or likes Bush. They don't have anybody like that. You've got to be the most flaming, crazy idiot of all time to make it on the radio. You got to be as crazy as Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest because it's a contest to see who can be the most crazy. And it's a contest I think was won by Michael Savage. You know, when you tell a gay caller, go choke on a sausage and die because you're gay. Hey, you pretty much win the golden swastika with that one.
Here in Washington, David Zurich, television columnist at the Baltimore Sun.
Never heard of this guy, but it doesn't matter. He's just a screaming, flaming, right-wing hack. Or, you know, it's possible these people aren't, but they just hate Dan Rather so much. They're going to take every anthill and make it into the Rocky Mountain Range every time. So, for some reason, they've got their own axe to grind. Funny, in all of Hollywood and all of television land, Howie the Whore couldn't come up with one person that, I don't even like Dan Rather, but they didn't even come up with someone as neutral on him as me to get on there and talk. You got four people that hate his effing guts, and they're all going to tell you about it. And Howard's going to say something stupid and lying whore. And then he's going to sit in there writing, oh, you bet. And the other one's going, yeah, it sure is. And the fourth one says, yeah, you got it, Howie. I mean, that's not even kicking around the issue, but that's how things work on reliable sources. That's how things work at CNN.
And by phone from Roswell, New Mexico, Rome Hartman, former executive producer of the CBS Evening News.
And you get the feeling that this last guy, a former producer at CBS News, might be a little bit empathetic towards Rather. But no, he just hates his effing guts, and he acts like he's never heard of this story before. Well, I mean, I take that back. He says things that are just completely wrong, and he knows they're wrong, and he just acts like, oh, these are the facts I have. These are the facts as I see them, one of those kind of deals. But nobody will give Dan Rather one-tenth of a break here.
Rome Hartman, you once worked for Dan Rather on the CBS Evening News. More recently, you worked alongside him at 60 Minutes. What was your reaction upon hearing that he had taken this extraordinary step of suing CBS?
Well, Howard, it, more than anything, it made me sad. It made me sad for him and for CBS News. I don't understand why he would choose to dredge back into the spotlight what is undoubtedly going to be remembered as the darkest moment of his career, and a very dark moment for CBS News.
First of all, whenever you start out with, it's so sad, that's what you say when your teenage boy grabs a rifle and runs up to the tower and murders 30 kids. Oh, it's so sad. What's, you know, his mind snapped. It's so awful. It's so sad. And then on top of that, just like Howie, he can't figure out how in this world, what would make Dan Rather pull this out to light again? What's wrong with him? He must be insane to do this. What kind of idiot wants to get his good name back after 40 or 50 years in the public eye? Remember, he was there. He was at JFK's assassination, so he's been around 44 years to even blink at a career. And after 40 or 50 years in the public eye, why in the world would this man want his reputation back? Why doesn't he accept being ruined by the Bush brothers and the whore media and just go away? What's wrong with his mind that he thinks that way? What kind of person would ever want to get their good name back? They can't understand it.
Do you think it's about the $70 million in damages he's seeking?
No, I don't. I take him at his word that it's not about the money. I think it's about Dan's very sincere desire to find vindication. Problem is, I just don't think that's how it's going to end out.
Laura Ingraham, everybody's asking the question, why would Rather dredge this up and relitigate and go to court for what was clearly the worst episode of his professional career?
I wish somebody could explain to me what the hell Howard Kurtz is thinking. He can't imagine why anybody would ever want to clear their name. It's just such a foreign concept to him. He just can't wrap his mind around the idea.
He said when he issued his apology, I'm not a victim. I'm a victim of my own shortcomings, the shortcomings of the story.
Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Yes, that's the first thing liberals and Democrats do when someone accuses them of something, they apologize. That's pretty standard, but I don't remember him saying that, and I can't tell if this is just a lying whore or if he did say it.
And so now there's a different story, and it's that the documents, the facts behind the documents were true, and he's going to show all of us that he was right all along. I mean, it's extremely, I agree, sad. He's 75 years old. He had a long run in the media. Obviously, he had years of sparring with conservatives, and obviously now the Internet, which blew the story open. I think he's a little bit angered that the new media really pulled the curtain back on what was going on at CBS, and I don't think he's gotten over it.
See, there she goes with pulled the curtain back, implying that they were intentionally doing something wrong, and when someone put a little sunlight on it, oh my God, all the cockroaches had to scurry. But that's not what happened. And the bottom line is, everybody knows that Bush didn't show up. Think how hard the Bushies have to fight to win this one. He's already going to go down as the worst president ever. Now, if it goes down that turns out he was an AWOL draft dodger and he fooled everybody, the press isn't going to allow that to happen. They're not going to let it come out that they didn't ask, that they didn't find out. They've got to discredit this Rather story, and they don't care who they destroy to do it.
CBS has limited itself to a single sentence on the story, with a statement saying this is old news and the lawsuit is without merit.
Another mistake on Dan Rather's part. I don't know why he wanted to wait a couple of years. Was it two or three? I forget. To file this suit. Didn't he know the day he got fired that he'd been screwed? Why did he wait? And he waited long enough. Now it's kind of faded a little bit from memory. Idiotic move, Dan. You seem to have an abundance of that. And let's not forget the core principle of what we're talking about here. The White House and the whore media together are manufacturing the news. You know, if Barry Bonds hits one out of the park and they say he struck out, well, who are you going to believe? Barry Bonds says, no, I hit the sumbitch, it went out of the park. But hey, look, Barry, in the newspaper it says you struck out. That's what we got going on here. The White House and the whore media controlling the news. Whatever makes them the most money, that's what they're going to print. They're not going to print the truth. And that's what hopefully Rather's after here.
You go down that. You know, when he stepped down from the anchor desk, he insisted it was planned. And now he says it wasn't planned. He was forced off.
You know, I live by the credo, never tell a lie when the truth will do. I don't know why Dan Rather couldn't look the camera in the eye and say, hey, we had this problem with the Memogate story. I'm stepping down. You put two and two together. In other words, they fired my ass. For him to get up there and lie, oh, I want to spend some time with my family. And then a couple of years from now, I'm going to come back and say, I lied when I said why I wanted to retire. And I lied. I said when I was sorry. I lied when I said it was my but I told the truth before I lied. You idiot. Quit fucking lying until you have to. You don't have to lie unless there's a reason. There's no reason to tell a lie unless there's some big thing that you have to cover up that if it comes out, you're dead. Well, gee, guess what, Dan? You're dead now. If you wonder why I'm so pissed off about this, is he took a lot of us down with him. If Dan Rather had done his damn homework and gotten the story right, then Bush would have looked like an idiot, which he is. He would have looked like an AWOL deserter, which he is. And he probably would have lost the election to Kerry. But all this, all of us who've been saying what a fraud Bush is for all these years, well, then, you know, now Dan Rather's on record proving that Bush was the greatest soldier of all time, and it pisses me off, because we all would have gained a little more credibility had Dan Rather done his damn job in the first place. And now the stupid have been replaced by the crooked. We're no better off than we were. I'd rather get mistaken news than crooked news.
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
A naughty boy, a bad boy, a naughty boy, a nasty, bad, naughty boy.
I am not gay. I am not gay. I am not gay.
On a dark Viking flyway in the Twin Cities air, there's an airport restroom for some fellas who dare. If you're up for some footsie, play taps with your toes. Kiss your wife goodbye if you're caught. Now the whole world knows. Welcome to the Hotel Minnesota. What a big surprise.
What a big surprise.
For those horny guys. Plenty of stalls at the Hotel Minnesota. In a public place,
in a public place,
no one sees a face. His mind is seemingly twisted, he just couldn't be gay. He only likes to meet new men in the classical way. It's not like he's cheating, there's no female affair. When you reach round a steely wall, is there somebody there? Welcome to the Hotel Minnesota. Did your foot just stop?
Did your foot just stop?
On a city cop. You really screwed up at the Hotel Minnesota. Was your plea the lie?
Was your plea the lie?
Or your alibi? At the press conference briefing, it's the media hell. With the whole world listening to the story you tell. Relax, says the sergeant, you are programmed to deceive. As a conservative anti-gay, Larry, You're too much to believe. Welcome to the Hotel Minnesota. But now it's time to go.
Now it's time to go.
Back to Idaho. They'll save you a stall at the Hotel Minnesota. They stay fully manned and extend their hand.
New rule, maybe Iraq wasn't ready for democracy, and maybe California isn't ready for trial by jury. The jury on Phil Spector has been out 2 weeks on this guy. A man who pulled a gun on every woman he met since stereo. A man who confessed at the crime scene. A man who looks like this. But there's at least one person on that jury saying, I don't know, she could have killed herself to frame him. Yes, this actress wanted to kill herself, and she just happened to meet a guy who puts guns in ladies' mouths. Talk about going to Hollywood and getting your lucky break. If the person who's holding up this jury writes a book, they have to have the party at Phil Spector's house, and whatever Phil puts in their mouth, they have to suck it. You never know, there's a reasonable doubt it could be a Slim Jim. New rule, junk emailers have to stop trying to fool me by writing, hey, what's up, the subject line. Sure, it worked on me the first couple of hundred times. And yes, I'm enjoying the Viagra and my Ukrainian mail-order bride, but stop bothering me, replicarolex.com. I'm trying to talk to this deposed Nigerian prince who just needs my PIN number to make me rich. New rule, our next president must have lips. I'm not asking for full, pouty Angelina Jolie lips. I just want to be able to see where the lies are coming from. And finally, new rule, just because the Constitution doesn't have a religious test for office doesn't mean I can't. This past Monday was Constitution Day in the U.S., and while I was going over the Constitution with my two adopted kids, Zach Ono and Mogadishu, I'm homeschooling them, I was struck again by Article 6, Section 3. It says, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office. And I agree. No one should ever be disqualified for their religion, even the funny ones, like all of them. But the problem is that there is a religious test in this country. According to a recent poll, 7 in 10 say it's important to have a president with strong religious beliefs. The other three couldn't take the poll because it was Friday night and Yahweh wouldn't let them answer the phone. But fair is fair. So for myself and the other 15 to 20% of Americans who the majority call non-believers, but who I call rationalists, here is our religious test for office. If you believe in Judgment Day, I have to seriously question your judgment. If you believe you're in a long-term relationship with an all-powerful space daddy who will, after you die, party with your ghost forever, you can't have my vote even for Miss Hawaiian Tropic. I can't trust you at the levers of government because there's an electrical fire going on in your head. Maybe a president who didn't believe our soldiers were going to heaven might be a little less willing to get them killed. candidate Mitt Romney, a Mormon, believes in spiritually blessed underwear that can protect him. He seemed like a nice man, and so do his sons, Wally and the Bee. But I'm sorry, their religion is batshit. It's like Scientology without the celebrities. And he has every right to run for president while believing in magic underwear and believing that Jesus survived his own death and will return during an Osmonds concert in Branson. And I have every right to take that into consideration in the voting booth. And at the end of the day, is magic underwear really that much crazier than giant arcs or virgin births or talking bushes? You're either a rationalist or you're not. And the good news is, a recent poll found 20% of adults under 30 say they are rationalists and have figured out that Santa Claus and Jesus are really the same guy. Now, 20% is hardly a majority, but it's a bigger minority than blacks, Jews, homosexuals, NRA members, teachers, or seniors. And it's certainly enough to stop being shy about expressing the opinion that we're not the crazy ones. Just because the vote is 4-1, it doesn't mean the minority is wrong. People who are against this war from the start were a minority. The majority used to believe the world was flat. But if you believe that today, you'd either be packed off to Bellevue or asked to co-host The View.
MoveOn.org ad that has ignited a political firestorm. As you all know, it ran in the New York Times the same day that General David Petraeus testified before Congress about Iraq. The copy in the ad referred to him as General Petraeus. The ad and the Republican response to it has taken on a life of its own. Now, today on Capitol Hill, the House overwhelmingly passed a resolution condemning the ad and praising the general's patriotism. The Senate did the same last week. Today, I sat down with former President Bill Clinton to talk about his global initiative, his fundraising, but the Republicans' words were not far from his mind. Check it out. We sat down with former President Clinton to discuss his mammoth global charity initiative. But when the topic turned to politics, the former president unleashed his anger on Republicans. The subject, the controversial MoveOn.org ad that's put Democrats on the defensive.
This ad with Petraeus, did that hurt the party or did that help?
It probably mixed, but I think that there was something completely disingenuous about the feigned outrage of the Republicans in the White House and in the Congress about this.
Last week, the Senate voted overwhelmingly to condemn MoveOn.org, and President Bush and other Republicans went on the attack.
I thought the ad was disgusting, and I felt like the ad was an attack not only on General Petraeus, but on the U.S. military.
What I don't think should happen in political discourse is the kind of character assassination that MoveOn.org participated in.
You don't think Bill Clinton has ever read Barkup.com? Because about 2-3 days before he said this, we put up bush-fuck-u.htm. And it's almost like he read that.
This was classic bait and switch.
Focus on that as opposed to focusing on
what's
really
happening.
Oh, yeah,
this way I don't have to deal with Iraq. I don't have to tell anybody what I'm going to do. Everything we do in Iraq is obviously right because they said this about Petraeus, as if it was the only issue in the wide world. I mean, come on, these Republicans that are all upset about Petraeus, this is one newspaper ad. These are the people that ran a television ad in Georgia with Max Cleveland, who lost half his body in Vietnam, in the same ad with Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. That's what the Republicans did. And the person that rode to the Senate on that ad.
He's talking about Saxby Chambliss, which has to be the gayest name in the history of the Senate. Saxby Chambliss
was there voting to condemn the Democrats over the Petraeus ad. These are the people that funded the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. But they're really upset about Petraeus. But it was okay to question John Kerry's patriotism. So it was just bait and switch. It was just, oh, thank goodness, I can take this little word here and ignore what we've done in Iraq and what we're going to do and the outrageous way we gained political power by smearing John Kerry. Same crowd that smeared John McCain, another war hero, saying he had a black baby because he adopted a child from Bangladesh.
Do you think this is going to get even dirtier?
I don't know. But I think that the Democrats, I was proud of Hillary and the others that had the moxie not to take their bait and switch.
President Clinton rarely erupts like this these days. He's been busy with his various charitable causes, including the Clinton Global Initiative, which says it's raised more than $10 billion for various causes around the world.
And you know, when this idiot monkey gets out of office, he's not going to do a damn thing for anybody but himself. He's going to go around to the oil companies and make speeches for $5 or $10 million a speech that he's going to read wrong. He's going to mispronounce all the words. He's not going to know what he's saying. He's like Reagan when he left office, went to Japan, made $6 million worth of speeches. Reagan never knew what he was talking about. He just read his lines. He was an actor. Bush is going to do the same things. Help somebody. Do charity work, chip in and help the guy who needs a break? Not Bush, not a chance. It's all the money, all the time. He's probably going to start some foundation to cut taxes. And this is the bastard that's been stealing $200-300 million a day for years. And we got 4,000 dead soldiers coming up. Yep, that's our Bush.
It's another fascist day. It's just another fascist day. Every day W gets his way. It's another fascist day. It's another fascist day. The Constitution is now passé. Democracy is in full decay. It's another fascist day. It's another fascist day. All checks and balances gone away. The courts and the Congress in disarray. It's another fascist day. It's another fascist day.
Anybody have a guess? It's the NRA! The candidates, the candidates spoke at the group's celebration of American values. No candidate came with more baggage than Rudy Giuliani, who, as mayor of New York, had this to say on the topic of gun control.
The NRA is involved in a strategy that I don't understand. I don't understand fighting assault weapons, the ban on assault weapons.
Said Giuliani, must have been my hair talking. I had no. But now that Giuliani's running for national office, he is pro-gun. Hard stance to reconcile. I only hope some sort of event occurred between then and now that he could say caused him to rethink his position. It's just hard to imagine what that event might have been. He's not really associated with any one moment.
I also think that there have been subsequent intervening events, September 11th, which cast somewhat of a different light on the Second Amendment.
And while what he just said doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever, with regard to the events of September 11th, it does speak to the tragedy that is 9/11 Tourette's. Won't you, 9/11, help us, 9/11? Because 9/11 is a terrible 9/11 to 9/11. I will say this, though. It's smart politics. Guy needs the NRA support. They're skeptical. Got to make it clear they're a top priority for him.
The language of it is the people shall be secure. Let's see now. This is my wife calling, I think. Hello, dear. I'm talking to the members of the NRA right now. Would you like to say hello?
I'm sorry, what's that, honey? You want me to bring home some bullets? Some armor-piercing hollow-point cop killers. All right. Okay, shoot you later, 9/11. The other major candidates... The other major candidates, John McCain, Fred Thompson, Mitt Romney, all said they like you the bang bang. Actually, I guess Governor Mike Huckabee is now on the threshold of being a major candidate, if you believe the polls. Must be doing something right. Let's hear what he has to say.
I'm pretty sure there will be duck hunting in heaven, and I can't wait.
Senator Huckabee, are you saying our heaven is duck hell? Is there any place a duck can go to not get shot? I get shot on Earth. Then when I go to heaven, I get shot. But wait! Governor, your mix of spiritualism and bloodlust intrigues me. Perhaps a hunting story will close the deal.
Somehow the angels took that bullet and went right to the antelope, and my hunt was over in a wonderful way.
But unfortunately, the antelope wasn't quite dead. So the angels went over there with a serrated hunting knife and sawed through its trachea. They severed the head and stuffed the antelope's own genitals into its mouth. And then the angels sang. That's Mike Huckabee giving the first ever speech that made NRA members go, boop, boop. Awesome.
Well, there you had it. Show 127, Bark Cop Radio in the can. Hope you liked it. Hope you liked parts of it. And I know that Dan Rather thing got a little long, but, you know, sometimes when you get pissed off, I don't know about you, but when I get pissed off, I want to keep fighting. Bam, bam, bam. My arm gets tired, I switch the other arm. Bam, bam, bam. That arm gets tired, I kick him a few times. So if I get a little carried away, forgive me. But hey, like to thank you, the listener. Like to thank you, the listener. Hopefully that you're a subscriber. If you're listening and you're not subscribed, shame, shame, shame. Like to thank each subscriber individually, but there's no time because there must be a dozen of them. Like to thank those who send the occasional check in the mail. Our little fundraiser now, it's almost exactly $3,000. These little thermometers that Chicago Jim makes for me, they come in chunks, and so they're not exactly accurate, but we're roughly in the 3,000 range as I speak this. Halfway home, if I can raise $6,000, that should keep me out of trouble until 2008. And it would be nice if I could kick this cold. It's been another one of those 30, 40-day colds, which I just hate. You know, in the old days, the colds would come and go, but I'm just ready for it to go. I think I'm not drinking enough. I need to build up that tolerance. Alcohol kills germs. You know how they do that. You know, the last thing here, oh, damn, I almost forgot. We missed out on all the corn last year went to the end of September, and this year we didn't get any of that. Remember last year, not only when the corn ran out, as the corn was running out, we got that great cranberry corn came in. None of that. Boom, zip. I guess they just canceled the contract with the Olathe, Colorado people. It's bad enough when corn season ends, but to have it end suddenly on you. Just hate that. But anyway, this is Barton K-Drag. I'll get to work on show number 128. Going to leave you with a little reggae. And I am out of here.
The Black Survivors.
The Emperor's Lions are like enormous pet dogs.
The Black Survivors.
Here we go.
How can you be sitting there telling me that you care? That you care? When every time I look around, the people suffer in the suffering, in every way, in every way. Hey, na 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 na. The Black Survivors. The Black Survivors. The Black Survivors. The Black Survivors. I tell you what, some people got everything. Some people got nothing. Some people got hopes and dreams. Some people got ways and means. Na, 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 na.
Here we go.
The Black Survivors.
The Lion is Cuba.
The Black Survivors. The Black Survivors.
The Lion is Cuba.
The Black Survivors.
Here we go.
The Black Survivors.
Strong.
The Black.
Intelligence, time to save the continents. Power goes to the people, plus there's a conflict. Cause the people are sold, the people refuse to be equal. Same old story, no sequel.
The black true survivors. That
we all must live as one, but the conflict lies unless we all get some. Gold, silver, the diamonds that we all mining. Got to get mines, we got to get
the
mines.
Black survivors. The black survivors.